Amen. God bless you this morning. The principle of blessing will be very high in our mind. Hallelujah. Let me get myself together. Do you know that when whatever you bless increases? Do you have that inside of you? It's a biblical principle, because the origination of blessing was God when he blessed the man and the woman, that they would be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Those who received that blessing are able to bless, because what you receive, you can give. And so all human beings, whether they're followers of the Lord or not, have the power of blessing. Now, unfortunately, this is why you see some things increase that you go, wait a minute, I don't think we wanted that to increase. Because imagers of God are able to bless. So we're going to bless the things that are right and good. Amen? This morning, I'm going to talk to you about living in abundance. And you've already been introduced to my main character, Melchizedek. We're going to talk about Melchizedek. And everyone who's ever read their Bible has a different opinion about Melchizedek. After today, you're not allowed to have any other opinions but mine. I'm going to sort it out for you. And before I do go on, let me just acknowledge, it's already been done, but this is Gail's birthday. And we're celebrating 50s this year, because 50 years ago, she was old enough to marry me on this day, legally, in the state of Mississippi. And 5 months later, we got married. Yeah, when she was still 18 years old. And my mama had to sign for me because I wasn't old enough. Because in Mississippi, the guys had to be 21. So, hallelujah. And my sweet mama, of course, is watching. And y'all know I pander to mama all the time. So, hello, mom. She's watching online. But there's more. 10 years ago today, this day, Jacoby was born. Yeah. And that there's such a story behind all that, but I won't put it on you now. But so my wife and my grandson have the blessing of sharing this day as their birthday. And Paul asked me a couple of months ago to preach on this date, and I said yes, and then Gail said, you know, that's my birthday. I'm like, well, you're used to it. So I want to talk to you about living in abundance, but living in abundance requires that you know how to receive. In the Bible, giving is not first, receiving is first. There's not one person here who has anything that they did not receive. Paul picks that up when he's dealing with the Corinthians. He says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why are you such a loudmouth? You ought to be a generous heart. But lest I go down too many trails, I want to talk to you about Melchizedek and the tithe. Everyone say tithe. It's like your favorite word in the world, isn't it? So, in the time that I was the pastor of this church, I don't think I ever once preached a sermon on tithing. And so when Paul said, I want you to preach on living in abundance, I said, I'm going to preach on tithing. Because, see, I can give him all the problems. I don't have to have the problems. But tithing is one of those things that you know, first of all, it really rankles people. So get over it. Here, let me help you. Here, let me help you. And by the way, statute of limitations is open. You can tear those things up on a regular basis because the cross is open. And great is the one who calls you. And that's where we're going, because we're going to talk about the greatness of Melchizedek. What causes someone to tithe is being in the presence of greatness. And listen, I'm telling you, the whole world tithes. It's just what they count great. There's not a person alive that you can't look in their book of their spending and see where they count as great. So you don't really hate tithing. You hate obligation. You hate coercion. And you resist law. And so it comes at you with all those things. Well, listen, here's the great thing. I ran into greatness before I ran into coercion. Right? So before we were committed to get married, I did everything early. There's nothing I love more than going to churches where I've never been and say, teenagers, y'all need to get married. Man, every parent in the world has a heart attack. By the way, it's the same thing as telling them to grow up. Because you have to grow up when you get married. It's an obligation. So what happens here in this text, or what happened in my life was, I ran into Jesus. I mean, I'd lived inside of some religion. Most people do. But I met Jesus. And then when I was talking marriage with this girl, and you know, you're negotiating. You understand that you negotiate, but you negotiate before you get them to marry you. You like say what's all in. And I said, we don't need any money. It all belongs to God, and we're going to give it all away anyway. And we're never going to own a house. I said all these things, right? Because I'm like, we're just going to be crazy people and give, and God's going to take care of us. Just so you know, we've been crazy people and given, and we have a house. So we're doing okay. And we're doing more than okay. But I read to you from Genesis chapter 14. I won't read that text again because I'll certainly run out of time. But we meet this character, Melchizedek, and we immediately, this is the first mention in the Bible of a tithe. I always look for the first mention of stuff. This is the first time that the principle of a tithe is given. So you say, the secret of the tithe is inside the first mention. And it gets treated that way in the book of Hebrews. This dude Melchizedek is fantastic because we get introduced to him here. We don't know who the dude is. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then he's mentioned in Psalm 110. We'll touch that. And then the writer of the book of Hebrews just goes ape crazy over Melchizedek. And he obligates a couple chapters of his what we call chapters of his writing to this amazing person. So look, Abram's been blessed by God. Chapter 12, Genesis, I'll make your name great. I'm gonna make your name, you'll have a great nation. He tells him his name is gonna be the greatest name in history. There it is, Paul. That's what you like. We want that ring. And so now he's already been given a status of greatness. And then pretty quickly, he goes out and rescues Lot. You know, Lot is his nephew, and he parts ways with Lot and apportions the best part of the land that they've come into to Lot. And Lot gets himself in trouble. And if you understand, this ain't the first time. This is not the last time Lot's going to be in trouble. But Abram comes and rescues him, like militarily rescues him, and conquers these kings. And then he comes back from this conquest and meets Melchizedek. And he's awestruck. He sees the amazing greatness. And Melchizedek, this is what happens. We're told who he is in this text. I'll come to it in a minute. He brings out the bread and the wine. I don't know if you've ever made the connection I made this morning to Melchizedek and the bread and the wine and to Jesus and the bread and the wine, but understand this. Jesus is the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So it's not surprising to us that we would peer into the annals of history and find this guy. And he's giving these gifts. And Jesus comes and explains them to us. But again, we go forward. Well, what Melchizedek does is he doubles down on the word of God and he blesses Abram. Got it? So God said, you're blessed. Then he sends a witness who is, and identified to us as, he's a priest of God, like he's legit. And Abram knows it. And says, this is yours. So this is what happens. In the presence of greatness, a tithe is not an obligation. That's the whole thing I'm going to say to you today. And your problem is not with the obligation of the tithe. Your problem is with the recognition of greatness. Because when your heart connects to greatness, your treasure just flows. Hallelujah. Listen, there are great things apportioned for you. Hallelujah. When I left New Life City, it was low tide. Now look what's happening. Hallelujah. The tide's coming back in. The harvest is coming back in. It's a great day for you. And it's a day for you to sow into the possibilities of greatness. I began to tithe as a young man. Hallelujah. I know I'm in trouble. I began to tithe as a young man just because, like, that's what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. And people would always say, Baptist, they had the principle of tithe. And sure enough, I joined a Baptist church, you know. And, you know, don't do it, Alan. But the whole thing about the tithe, your 90% will go further if you give the 10%. That's what they said. It's not a Bible verse. It is not. And so, but I'll tell you what will happen when you begin to tithe. You'll pay attention to the rest of your money better. You'll become a better steward, a manager, because you'll be alert to it. And you will have been saying that God is your trust. My trust is in the Lord. When I give the first portion, man, listen, when you spend all that money on sports, you ain't expecting no blessing. You're just going to have fun with it. You're going to have fun with it. It's not going to transform your life, not very many of us. It's not. I don't see Mickey Mantle in here. Who's that guy? Oh, yeah, who's that guy? I don't see anybody named Mahomes in here either. Hallelujah. I used to be funny. Now I'm just long-winded. Hallelujah. The second mention of Melchizedek is right here in Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, this is David. This is David prophesying. You see, David received a prophecy that his offspring would sit on the throne of God forever. Say forever. Forever. I like it at Sandlot. Forever. For those of you who know your movie lexicon. The Lord says to my Lord, this is David saying, Yahweh says to Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And then that psalm goes on and it says, the Lord has sworn. There's an oath that God made. That means covenant is happening. And will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So listen, at the time of David, there is a priesthood. It's Levitical. And the king is the king, and the priest is the priest, and the prophet is the prophet. And these things are generally, though not always exclusively, separated. And they have been since the golden calf experience. Which I'd have to preach a whole nother sermon on that, so invite me back. But here he sees a king, because you don't get to sit on the throne if you're not a king. And he says to him, you're a priest. Like Melchizedek. And then David, none of the prophets, no one explains that. And it's not till we come to the beautiful letter to the Hebrews that we get some explanation. And so we meet Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of Most High God, met Abram. No, it doesn't say that. It says Abraham. So when it happened, his name was Abram. But when the Hebrews writes about it, his name is Abraham because he's been given a covenant name that is much more expansive. When God speaks a name over you, he expands you. In other words, he blesses you again. So Eve falls into deception and God says, I think I'll just make you the mother of all living. That's how God meets her transgression. He comes to her with a new name. He comes to childless Abram and Sarai and gives them the name Sarah and Abraham. He expands them tremendously. Returning from the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed him. And to Abraham, he apportioned a tenth part. And to him, Abram, I can't read. I used to could read, but that's why I retired. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth of everything. Say everything. He is first by translation of his name. And I love this because the writer says, well, let's get hold of who this dude is. So we'll do it first in his name. Whenever we dedicated children, Mama Gail used to always go, what's that child's name? And she would build a prophecy based on the name, because when you name your children, you're prophesying over them whether you're conscious of it or not. By translation, his name means King of Righteousness. It's Melech, King, Zedek, Righteousness, Melchizedek. King of Righteousness. And then he's also the king of Salem, which meant the king of Jerusalem. You getting hold of this? That is the king of peace. We know the prince of peace. And then it says he's without father, mother, or genealogy, having neither beginning of days or end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. Now what happens is people read this text and unschooled, you'll forgive me, but I'm just gonna say it. You need teachers. I'm just gonna say it. But if you just read that flat, unschooled, then you're gonna go, wait, Melchizedek is Jesus. That's not at all what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's actually speaking a code language that the readers to whom he's writing, they would have understood it. We just don't understand it. He's writing to Hebrew people, the letter to the Hebrews. This is not a Gentile letter. In fact, Gentiles read this letter and go, what is this guy smoking? This is some weird stuff. But the whole point of the book of Hebrews is to say, you've had for a long time a great blessing, a number of blessings that have come down from heaven, from God. But today, He's fulfilling those blessings and he's transforming those blessings. And the whole of the book is about the supremacy of what they're coming into as opposed to what they left behind. And so it says he's without father or mother or genealogy. So you say, well, it means he couldn't be a human. Oh, yes, he could. If you understand the code. The code would have been this. The writer of Hebrews is writing to Hebrew people who have a priesthood. They know about Melchizedek, but they have a priesthood. The priesthood they have is based on the genealogy of your father and your mother. You had to present a genealogy that proved that you were of the tribe of Levi. If you weren't of the tribe of Levi, you couldn't present that genealogy. So this is not about, it says simply fatherless and motherless is actually the way the text reads. That's what it actually says. But what the writer is saying is, this dude is not a Levite. You say, well, what about this neither beginning of days or end of life? That's about the span of time that a Levitical priest is in the priesthood. That's not about not having years. By the way, you understand Jesus has a genealogy. It's just not Levitical. And so this text is written not to tell us that Melchizedek is an eternal being, because I believe he was a man and he lived as a man and as someone that I think Abram knew or at least recognized. I won't have time to preach that heresy today. So you shall have to look it up. Those of you who have heard me before have some knowledge of what I've said before, but listen to what he goes on to say. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of his spoils. Abraham, our father. Just so you know, Abraham is my father too, because he's not my father by natural descent. He's my father by spiritual heritage, because he's the father of all who believe, because he's a covenant man because of his faith, not because of his blood. And we are y'all all right? We don't trust in our natural descent. We trust in the spiritual life that has been poured out for us, where Jesus came and expanded the kingdom of God from one tribe to every tribe, from one nation to every nation, from one tongue to every tongue. And so we're in. But Abraham comes to him and says, oh, here it is. I'm not going to get through my text, but I'm... because I have a lot more in here because I'm that guy. But you've got the gist of where I'm going. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a command in the law to take tithes from the people. You can read about it. You can find it in three of the books of the Torah, where what happened was pretty simple. The original priesthood was the head of every family. Where does that come from? It comes from Adam, who, when a sacrifice was made, he was covered by God. It comes from Abel, who by faith offered a sacrifice, a better sacrifice, and he was counted as a man of faith for it. He acted as a priest of his family. In the Old Testament, The family was led, and I'm sorry, I don't care how much it rankles today's world. It was a patriarchy, but the patriarchy was the fountain of blessing for everyone. All that happened to patriarchy is it got perverted into oppression. And the cure is not to destroy it. The cure is to redeem it. And so what happened was they moved from the patriarchy of the of the fathers in the family, they moved to a priesthood of the Levites. And the Levites, what happened to them was they got no inheritance of the land when they went into the land. Their inheritance was God himself. And the people received the Levites. And by the way, Levites' history was pretty messed up. It was pretty messed up. Because God is always taking the messed up, redeeming it, and transforming it. You and I are transformed, messed up people. I've never been more messed up than I am today. But the Lord is with me. And all the days of my life, his praise will be on my lips. And all the days of my life, everywhere I'll go, I'll say, see how great is this man. That's what's being said here. They had a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers. And though these also descended from Abraham, but this man who does not have his descent from them, not from the Levites, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. In other words, he was a great man. Beyond dispute, it's beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. So as great as this man Abraham was, when he encountered the priesthood of Melchizedek, he was in the presence of greater greatness. And he both received a blessing from that great one and then tithed to him. In the one case, the tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that, watch this. Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham. For he was still in the loins of his ancestor when he met Melchizedek. That's covenantal thinking. It'll mess you up. It'll transform the way you read your Bible, and it certainly transformed the way I read my Bible. But Levi, in other words, in, are you ready for this? In Abraham was Levi. Do you know that from the foundations of the world, in Jesus was New Life City? That's how you understand your Bible, folks. That's how you understand your Bible. Hallelujah. I'm gonna have to keep my word and stop. Yeah, I'm gonna do it too. Because I'm obedient. See how great is this man. The writer of Hebrews goes on to introduce the greater than Melchizedek. Don't you miss this at all. Jesus comes in and restores the Melchizedek priesthood, and he made redundant the Levitical priesthood. And the writer of Hebrews is giving them this conversation because he wants to turn their allegiance from the Levitical priesthood, from the temple and the offerings, from the sacrificial system, from the law of Moses. He wants to inaugurate a new priesthood. This text goes on to say, when there's a change of priesthood, there's a change of law. And what you and I are experiences is that when the Levitical priesthood was once again transformed into the priesthood of Melchizedek, you and I were born into the law of grace. Or what the writer of Hebrews calls a better covenant. Now, do I have an application? I have two applications that I'll give to you. Application number one is tithe. I had a professor in seminary, and we were just like all students. We were like, are we supposed to tithe? like that. We would do like that. And we wanted him to give us the law. Because, man, people like the law even if they won't obey it. Because we want to know how to stretch it any way we can. And I remember that professor, he's British. He says, "Tithe, is that all you do? Young man, a tithe is the standard below which you dare not fall." And it was a moment just like when Jesus was there and we went away and no one dared ask him another question. Because he was just presenting Jesus in his glory. And when I come to preach to you, I ain't preaching no tithe. I'm proclaiming to you Jesus, who when he was embodied, when he was incarnate with us, he said, "Greater than Jonah is here." He spoke of Solomon and he said, "Greater than Solomon is here." And all that happens is the announcement of Jesus is the announcement to the world that the one in whom your hopes and dreams are vested is here. Open your eyes and behold him. And when it happens, then your heart opens. I don't want to bind people to obligations. I want to bind people to the beauty of the one who never fades and never fails, and who for me and my family is in greater focus today than he has ever been before. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. And if you cannot see him, you should weep in your heart and say, oh God, open my eyes. I want to see him. Like those Greeks who long ago said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And shortly after that, this Jesus came to his disciples with bread and wine. And I have no doubt in my mind that in their minds, they were somewhat, they weren't learned scholars, but they were schooled and they would have known this is what Melchizedek did. Right. And they would have known they were in the presence of a whole new priesthood, one from the tribe of Judah, who was a king and a priest, who was the restoration of things lost and the restoration of our hopes and dreams of the future. And this is Jesus Christ. Would you stand together?
For those of you that do not know me, I am Gail. I'm Alan's wife. And
Mama Gail.
As I'm listening to the message, the Holy Spirit has just come on me. And I feel like we are supposed to respond to this message. It's not just a message to hear and go out and forget. It is a message to take into yourself like maybe you never have before. So this is not planned. I asked permission, and Paul and Andy have graciously allowed me to move at what God has on my heart. One time, we had Heidi Baker. A lot of you know her. Heidi Baker came and spoke, and that week was crazy. And I felt like the Lord was saying, we're supposed to give to her ministry. Well, today, we're not giving into a ministry. We are giving into the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The word says, everything that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So this morning, I feel so strongly that we are to respond. I know some of us give regularly. We give online. We give by check, whatever. But today, if it's all possible, you are to take what you have, whether it's a penny, whether it's a dime, whether it's a quarter, whether it's a $100 bill, and you are to lay it up here at the feet of Jesus. This is a response. Today is the first Sabbath of the new year, and we are setting ourselves right in the year by saying, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. Everything that I am belongs to you. Everything that I receive belongs to you. You are the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. You're welcome right now. Bring your offering. This might not be a tithe. This might be called an offering. If you don't have something, ask your neighbor. Have you got something that I can give? I don't carry cash with me. Ask your neighbor. Do you have a quarter? Do you have a dime? Do you have any change? This is a prophetic act of who you are and what you're saying to the Lord about your commitment to Him, that He is greater than anything you have ever imagined or thought. And your worship is also in your giving. It's not just in your time. It's not just in your mind. It is in the act of giving. So today we are honoring you, Jesus, this morning. We worship you because you are everything. You are our everything. You are our everything. We're going to give you just a minute to continue. I really pray that there's not one person in this building, which I better get mine out of my pocket. There's not one person in this building that is not participating. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, today is your day to receive Him in the fullness of who He is. The Holy Spirit wants to come on you and change your life like you've never understood before. So your invitation, even in this, is receiving the One who is greater.
Start making your plan also, because from this day, if you've heard and believe this message, from this day, you're liberated and you're going to begin to plan your money differently. And you're going to become a tither, not from obligation, but from love. What we're looking for is the devotion of the heart. It's not nothing more liberating than parting with money. It'll set you free. It'll heal you. And I sure didn't know Mama was going to do that, but I'm not surprised. I've been with her a long time. The Bible is teaching is that we have a great high priest, one who is in the heavens. You know that? The reason you're safe is because there's one who sits at the right hand of God and forgives. One who ascended into the heavens and offered one time a sacrifice for sin. No more sacrifices have to be offered. And we receive Him. Five bleeding wounds He bore, received on Calvary. Five bleeding wounds. They strongly plead for me. Forgive them, forgive him, they cry, nor let that wounded sinner die. And this is Jesus, the priest from the tribe of Melchizedek, who intercedes for us in the heavens and who has made a place for us. And so as we close this day, if you have never met him personally, because I'm talking about a transformation that happens in your heart, he wants to give that to you. And somehow he has partnered with acts of the will. You've seen two of them today. One of them with the paper and another one with other paper. These are acts of the will. The greatest act of the will is to present yourself to God. Say, I believe this, I want this. And to present yourself to God. And this day, before you leave this place, whether you've torn paper or presented an offering, present yourself to Him. He will transform you, and He will begin a process in your life that will go on as long as you live, changing you from glory to glory. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. And because this is a house of prayer, and because this is a day of blessing, if you need a special blessing, you're faced with something insurmountable, and you're asking God for a special blessing, I'd like for you to come. So if you want to present yourself or you want to receive something unique from the Lord, would you please come? Just begin to come forward, and then I'm going to bless you and release you, and someone's going to come pray for you. Yeah. So just come. Hallelujah. It's my friend Drake. Josh, come on. Hallelujah. So many friends. If you don't know Jesus today, if you're not in a relationship to Jesus, fall anonymously into this crowd. And when you come forward and someone comes to pray for you, you tell them, I've come to give myself to Jesus today. I'm gonna bless you, and then if you need to come still after that, you can come. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The King of Peace gives you peace. Shalom, shalom. God bless you. Goodbye.
So if you're part of the prayer ministry, we have a lot of people come up to receive prayer. Like if you went through the most recent training and you're willing to pray today for the people who are here,